KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelai Kinnean, and it's 9:02. Last week, the Army Corps of Engineers announced that it would hold off until March releasing a draft report on recommendations for Western Alaska's first deepwater port. The draft report's release is being held because the Corps' headquarters in D.C. wanted to review vessel traffic in and around the port of Nome. According to Lucas Stotts, Nome's harbor master, the increased attention directed at the Arctic has meant close contact between Nome's civic entities and different federal agencies. Joy Baker, project manager for the port, said her long correspondence with the Army Corps of Engineers has ramped up in the last year and a half. When there's news about rising rates of Arctic transport, it often refers to the very data tracked by Stotts, Baker, and a handful of others. And the numbers out of Nome are a microcosm of what's going on in the watery sea routes of Western Alaska more broadly. The total number of dockings in Nome's port has skyrocketed, tripling in just more than a decade. In 2001, the number of permits issued to docking vessels was 146. Last year, it was 449. In 1990, the first year there are records available, it was 34. What the total number does not include is even more telling. 449 appears to be about the port's capacity to handle in a season. Another 150 ships this last year were held at roadstead, which means vessels had to anchor off the harbor entrance because of draft restrictions, weather, or waiting in queue, meaning there's more traffic than the port facilities in Nome can handle. What accounts for the rise? Well, the doubling in permits issued for harbor docking in 2012 and carried over into this last year reflects a jump in gold dredges. But the gains are not limited to one industry. 11 government ships made calls last year, about twice the average over the preceding decade. And the number of barges stopping in Nome en route to deposit cargo and fuel in surrounding communities has exploded. In the current environment of a warming Arctic and increased commerce creeping into remote communities, there's simply more freight and fuel getting barged into the region and onward. So when federal agencies look at Nome's vessel traffic, these are the categories under scrutiny. Things like cruise ships, Coast Guard cutters, bulk cargo, and gravel loads shipped to offshore rigs or heavy infrastructure projects. It's not that any one source is causing Arctic traffic to rise. Is that there's growth in almost every category being measured. And a newly refurbished Coast Guard icebreaker is en route to Antarctica to free two vessels stuck in sea ice. The stuck ships are a Russian research vessel and a Chinese icebreaker, says Allison Conroy, the Coast Guard's chief warrant officer for the Pacific area. The Russian ship has been stranded since before Christmas. The Chinese vessel got stuck when it tried to help. Conroy says the Coast Guard cutter Polar Star is being sent to the scene. The heavy-duty icebreaker just finished undergoing a three-year, $90 million overhaul. Conroy says the Chinese ship's helicopter has evacuated the passengers from the Russian ship, but the vessel's crews are still on board.
The Polar Star is heading down there about 8 knots right now, and we expect them to be on scene on January 12th. Once on scene, they plan to break the ice out around the two ships once they break a navigational path through the sea ice. And that way, the two ships that are beset will then be able to leave the area under their own power.
Conroy says Coast Guard ships are often tasked with breaking ice to keep navigational lanes clear. The Coast Guard cutter Healy performed one such mission in Alaska in 2010 when it helped a Russian vessel break a channel through sea ice to resupply Nome. But Conroy says it's more rare for an icebreaker to have to rescue other ships, like the Polar Star is setting out to do.
The search and rescue mission that it's embarking on now is actually kind of unique. The last time we probably heard about ships being beset in ice, you can read in your history books.
This is the first time the Polar Star has been to Antarctica since 2006. After this, it'll embark on its main mission, breaking ice to help resupply the U.S. Antarctic Program's field stations. And last Friday was the deadline for proposals for NSEDC's Community Benefit Share Program. And according to Nome City Clerk Tom Moran, altogether 10 project proposals were turned in. The total amount of funds requested was $620,000, more than four times the $150,000 provided by NSEDC. The proposals will be made public on Thursday at the Nome Common Council meeting scheduled for 7 p.m. at City Council Chambers. And the Norton Sound Sled Dog Club announced yesterday that the 2014 Paul Johnson Memorial Norton Sound 450 is now canceled. In a release, the Sled Dog Club says many things factored into the decision, including funding, local training conditions, and schedule timing. Race Director Mitty Johnson says in a release that the Sled Dog Club is 100% committed to the continuance of the mid-distance race, and they plan to have information regarding the 2015 event in the coming months. He thanks the many mushers who have supported the race. The inaugural running of the Paul Johnson 450 took place in 2012. The hope was to attract Iditarod mushers who desired some run time on the coastal trail from Unalakleet to Nome. They got that last year. The race attracted Martin Boozer, D.D. Johnro, Jerry Willamette, Sir Aaron Burmeister, and Pete Kaiser. And last year, the teams were diverted from Shaktulik due to a storm. The teams turned around and finished back in Unalakleet. Bethel's Pete Kaiser won both the 2012 and 2013 race. The Norton Sound Sled Dog Club plans to continue with the Portage 200, the race from Unalakleet to Keltec and back. That race has been successfully run since 1973. And a look at the price of gold this morning, down $10.90 an ounce to $1,227.90. An ounce of silver down 48 cents to $19.79. It's currently 9 minutes after 9 o'clock.